You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sefasodi. Now, this eye condition is a complication of diabetes that affects the retina, the layer at the back of the eye, which is sensitive to light. In diabetic retinopathy, tiny blood cells in the retina become leaky or blocked, which may lead to impaired vision and eventually blindness if untreated. And joining us today to tell us more about diabetic retinopathy is Dr. Ken Fong, the consultant ophthalmologist. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ken.
Thank you. It's great to be back.
And Mr. Ui Sunny, welcome to the show, Sunny.
Yes,
and thank you for coming to join us to share your experience with us. Dr. Fong, what is the leading cause of blindness in Malaysia? Because when I was reading recently, it was cataract. But many years ago, I was reading it was diabetic retinopathy. So which is it at the moment?
At the moment, it's still cataract and glaucoma, followed by macular degeneration and diabetic retinopathy.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to understand that cataract, although it's common, it's treatable and reversible. Whereas the other causes of blindness like glaucoma, macular degeneration, and diabetic retinopathy often cause irreversible loss of vision.
Okay, right. And Dr. Fong, retinopathy, diabetic retinopathy is classified into a number of different stages. Could you sort of describe these three stages
for us?
Sure,
Mira. Basically, it can be two main stages. One is what we call maculopathy. The macula is the center of the retina, which is the most sensitive part, and that can swell up and become full of fluid due to diabetes. The second, which is the actual retinopathy itself, is bleeding from blood vessels at the back of your eye.
Okay.
And the bleeding can be very mild, which can be monitored. And if it gets worse, it may require laser treatment. And if it's not treated, it can then cause a severe bleeding in your eye.
Okay. And does one develop diabetic retinopathy as a result of diabetes, or are there other causes that can you know, lead to this condition?
Yeah. It's primarily due to diabetes, but very often patients with diabetes have other problems like high blood pressure. And this high blood pressure can also lead to visual problems. But the main problems are related directly to diabetes.
Okay. Sunny, you were you always diabetic? Have you been diabetic for a long period of time?
I have been diabetic for 28 years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I am what they call a DM, diabetic mellitus 1, which I require insulin injection to control my sugar level in the body.
Okay, so, all right then. So when did you realize that your vision was being affected?
My vision?
Yes.
That was last year, August. One morning, I lost sight of my left eye.
Mm-hmm.
I can't see a thing. So I went around looking for help, meaning I went to see many ophthalmologists. Then what happened? The right eye bled. I think they call it VH, meaning vitreous hemorrhage. But professor can correct that later on.
Okay.
After my right eye bled, my left eye improved. I can see from my left eye.
Mm-hmm.
That is when I became very complacent. I thought my eye can improve on its own. After a few months, the left eye went blurred again. I can actually see the blood vessels, bleed or bled. That is when I went to see an ophthalmologist by the name of Hadib. He told me very frankly he cannot help me. But there are what you call people who are the retina boys. They can help you. So I went to see Professor Fong. Now, when I saw Professor Fong, there was already the 6 ophthalmologists I have consulted. Somehow, he relates to me. He convinced me that I have to have an operation. So we went through an operation on my right eye. Then, my left eye, the one that improved, actually went bad again. So Professor Fong has to do my left eye. Now, I can see, but as Professor Fong has said earlier on, there is something known as macular degeneration. So I'm having that now.
Mm-hmm.
So what I am now is, I'm not blind, thanks to him, but I'm visually impaired.
Okay. Dr. Fong, I'm just rather curious. 6 ophthalmologists, why is it some are able to do something about it and some aren't?
Basically, Mr. Ui's condition is quite complex, and his operation to treat his eye requires not just an ophthalmologist treat, but a subspecialist. Basically, an ophthalmologist was to receive further training in what we call retinal surgery, because it's quite delicate surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And as he said, I was the 6th doctor he saw, and by that time he was considered blind in both eyes.
Okay.
His left eye was slightly better, but his right eye was certainly very bad.
Okay. I always thought diabetic retinopathy was a slow, progressive disease. I mean, you just woke up one morning and lost eyesight in one eye. I mean, is it a slow, progressive disease?
Generally speaking, it is. But what happened in Mr. Wee's case was that he had little blood vessels growing at the back of his eye, and they had been there for a few months, and I think they decided to bleed that one morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that caused his sudden loss of vision. Thankfully, he didn't have anything more serious, like what we call a retinal detachment, which meant that if you get a retinal detachment together with the vitreous hemorrhage, even after successful surgery, the visual recovery can be quite limited.
Okay, so everyone reacts differently. Does it mean that if you're diabetic, eventually you will have diabetic retinopathy? Or is there a percentage of the number of diabetics in the population who will develop diabetic retinopathy?
At some stage, all patients with diabetes will have some retinopathy in their eyes. Some meaning that you'll see some little bits of bleeding, which is harmless,
mm-hmm.
and insignificant, but up to 30% of patients will require what we call laser treatment to prevent those blood vessels from bleeding.
Okay.
if you monitor them closely.
Sure, and laser is an option.
Laser was is used to prevent vitreous hemorrhage.
Okay, was that an option for Sunny?
In his case, he could not have laser because of the bleeding in the eye, which stopped us from doing the laser. So we had to do an operation called a vitrectomy to remove the blood inside his eye, and at the same time while I did the operation, I performed the laser treatment for him.
Okay, so if you have your diabetes under control, then do you have to still worry about retinopathy? I mean, I'm sure, Sunny, you had your diabetes for 28 years under control. Yes.
Well, that is a very difficult thing to do. My 28 years, I have been having insulin injection. I tested my blood 4 times a day, and as far as my endocrinologist, my GP says, my control of my sugar level in my body is good. Good meaning is around the HbA1c, they call it, is around 6 or whatever. Mine is around there. So now, how did my eye bleed? That I cannot understand.
Do you suffer from hypertension?
No.
None at all?
My BP is very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
I also check my BP every day, twice. And it's always around 120/60, 120 something.
Okay.
But how did my eye bleed? And, well, going to blind me that time, if not for Professor Fong, I really cannot understand.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Fong? Is there a reasoning for
that? Yeah, I mean, the answer really is because Mr. Ui's had his disease for so many years. And his control has been excellent. He looks after his health really well. He keeps his appointments. He has good compliance with his medications. But it's the duration of diabetes that's led to the complications.
Okay.
So even if you're well controlled, you still need to have eyes checked annually.
Right, so you have to every year.
That's right.
If you are diabetic,
yes,
you have to check it every year.
You have to.
Regardless of how high or how bad your diabetes really
exactly,
is.
Exactly, exactly.
Sunny?
I have been seeing my doctor. I'm a very good patient. I just want to say this. I have consultants, I have doctors, GPs, but not one of them ever ask me to see my ophthalmologist.
So this really comes back to the point that awareness, even amongst healthcare professionals, of the need to screen for diabetic retinopathy is still lacking. That's why it's important for the patients themselves, the patients with diabetes, to be aware that they have to have their eyes checked.
Okay, coming up, we'll find out more about diabetic retinopathy and, of course, how did Sunny, you know, sort of cope with the blindness. We'll find out on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it's The Bigger Picture and it's Meera Sivasodi. We're talking about dealing with blindness due to diabetic retinopathy, and with me is Dr. Ken Fong, and the consultant ophthalmologist, and Ui San Ni, who is also a patient who sort of suffered from some form of blindness, but thankfully you have some of it back. We want to find out more about that. But before that, San Ni, how did you cope? I mean, when you lost your eyesight, how much of it did you lose initially?
Well, when I discovered I've lost my sight, partially, then it got worse and worse.
Dr. Ken, you know, a lot of patients go through this process of losing their eyesight when they come to see you. How do you cope? How do you help them cope with it? Are there various stages that they go through, you know?
You know, a lot of people consider loss of sight to be as bad as being diagnosed with a terminal illness like cancer. So it is quite a serious life event, and we consider it similar to the stages of bereavement, whereby you've lost something very important to mm-hmm. you. And initially, there's a stage called shock and denial, whereby patients are surprised and upset they have it. And not very often they deny there's such a condition. And they often go for second and third opinions, and they look for miracle cures for that. And then it leads on to the next stage, where they feel angry. Why is it me? Why do I get this problem? I've been healthy all my life, and I've looked after myself, and that's when they have difficulties accepting it. Followed then by what we call fear and anxiety and a sense of helplessness, whereby they feel nothing can be done and that their life has changed irreversibly. And then throughout all this, they are coming for their appointments with doctors and getting help and being treated. But we have to understand that patients are going through different stages at this time. And finally, it comes to a stage where there's a sense of acceptance to the loss of sight. And then they begin to move on with their life and cope.
Okay. Sunny, you're doing very well. I mean, when I was told that you were coming in, I thought you would need help walking in. But, you know, you walked in yourself, you sat down, and you can actually see something. I mean, how much of your vision do you have?
Yes. Let me come back to what the question earlier on. Excuse me. When I discovered I lost my sight, I suffered from trauma, anxiety, depression, the whole lot. Back to that word, self-denial. I refused to get my eye treated. I wanted to go through and see as many ophthalmologists as I can.
Mm-hmm.
Until, as I said, I met and consulted an ophthalmologist by the name of Hadib. I was talking to him about pros and cons. He told me, you have no cons, only pros. That is when I decided I have to go through and have an operation. So I did,
mm-hmm.
and I can see, not all that well, but I can see
right.
and drive.
Fantastic. You can drive.
Yes.
Wow. Dr. Fong, if Sunny did not opt for that operation, what would have happened?
Essentially, he would have remained blind, as we say. The bleeding in the eye takes a long time to clear. And even after the bleeding has cleared, there may have been some permanent damage left. Because after his first operation for his right eye, we discovered that he had this macular edema, swelling of the macula,
mm-hmm.
Which we are still treating him for it. He's had further laser treatment to treat this macular edema.
Okay.
So he wouldn't have been able to have the treatment for macular edema had he not had the vitrectomy surgery to clear the blood out.
I see, okay. Why were you reluctant, Sunny? Was it fear that you didn't want to go through the operation?
I read profusely. I went to the web, I went everywhere, I got articles, and there they tells you all this operation, there will be side effects. So when I read all these things, I'm not an ophthalmologist, I'm a barrister, I got frightened.
Mm-hmm.
Until Professor Wong Fong convinced me, his word, nothing to worry. So I went through.
Right. Dr. Fong, do you have a lot of people coming to you after doing extensive reading, you know, and
More and more, actually.
Yeah. So would you advise us to read more, or you know, sometimes just consult the expert?
I think it's a bit of in between. We're no longer in the previous generation where the doctors know best, where they tell the patient what to do. I think we're now, it's a two-way conversation, and I think it's really good that the patients take the effort to do research, but be aware that a lot of information on the internet is not verified or may not be as accurate. So you have to take it at face value and discuss it.
Okay.
More often than not, actually, my patients discuss their health condition with their neighbors or their friends and then make a decision based on that.
Right.
Like, for example, if a patient knows of another patient had eye surgery and didn't improve, they'll then be afraid. But then they don't realize that there's many different types of eye surgery.
Sure. And Sunny, you know, when this happened to you, how long ago was this?
It was last year.
Just last year?
August it started.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my operation. Now, but today is October. I can see.
Right.
Yes.
Fantastic. And you were a practicing lawyer, I understand.
I was.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do it anymore.
Right.
No.
Why can't you? I mean, you can still see.
I think about it.
You can still see. Why can't you practice anymore as a lawyer?
Because at the moment I'm 67.
Mm-hmm.
And when you suffered from this, they call it visually impairment. In my case, I was nearly blind. You are what you call mentally affected. And it takes a long time to recover.
Sure. How do you, what sort of support is there, Dr. Fong, for patients like Sunny to, you know, emotionally get back on your two feet?
Yeah, I think the most important actually is family support. I think Mr. Wee is very lucky. His wife and children are very supportive and have been through a lot with him, because I've met them many times and we've been through all the consultations. So family support is extremely important. Of course, the patient themselves has to be emotionally strong. And they have to, you know, be able to accept the loss of vision and also be prepared for the rough road ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Wee has been through a lot.
Oh,
been
sure.
Through two eye operations and, you know, countless hospital visits. So, and now we've reached a stage where things are pretty stable. And it's good for him to be able to reflect on what he's been through the past year. In terms of other help outside, there is help from the government whereby patients who are visually impaired can be registered for the OKU card, Orang Kurang Apaya, and then there's a whole list of things they're entitled to. And then there's NGOs, like the Malaysian Association for the Blind, which they run training institutes for blind people, as well as support groups. But it's important that people who are visually impaired out there not lock themselves at home, because then you just enter what we call a spiral of depression.
Exactly. Sunny, what do you do now? I mean, what's your everyday...
At this very moment?
Yes, your typical day. What is it like?
What I do is I continue to do my exercise almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Not too much though, because my doctor says don't overdo it.
What do you do? What do you do?
Now?
In terms of exercise. Do you go to the gym or do you go to the park?
No,
or what do you
I
do?
Walk up the hills.
Mm.
That's the best. Yeah, I do. Almost every day. Yeah, and I enjoy going around. Driving here, driving there, and also I like to go to see my garden fairies. I'm not sure anybody understands what it means by garden fairies.
No, I was just going to ask you.
Well, garden fairies is a word coined by Dr. Hadib.
Right.
When I was very depressed, I went to a lot of temples, even though I'm a Catholic. I prayed to them and asked for help. Whether they did or not, I'm not sure. But now the question is, I can see.
Mm-hmm.
That's very important then.
Right.
So what I do now, I help people here. I try to help people who maybe if they are like in my same condition as me, I try to talk to them. But the question is, talking to them, free services is of no use. It's like junk mail. They have to really make up their mind and see an ophthalmologist. So it's no point telling people that you must see him, or you must see which doctors to see. They have to make up their mind. Otherwise, they will go blind.
Right.
It's as simple as that. I went through that and I know.
So what he's referring to is the denial stage,
yep,
which is what many patients go through.
Which is at the first stage,
yes,
of the whole you know emotional process.
And not even telling anyone about it. Very often they're blind in one eye, but they carry on, and until they're blind in both eyes and cannot perform, and then they realize the severity of the condition.
Mm-hmm. Emotionally, you have come a long way, Sunny. I'm sure you sometimes feel yourself slipping again. How do you bring yourself back up and tell yourself, no, this cannot happen, I am going to move forward?
Well, that is a very difficult thing, but I'm trying. You get easily agitated. When people say certain things, you get agitated. That's why I cannot practice anymore. Because in court, you get agitated all the time. So if you do that, then I'm not doing a favor to my clients.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to stop.
Right. But you're 67. You've led a pretty good life.
Well,
it's time to relax and, you know, enjoy. Or do you still have that feeling that you want to work some more?
Well, the years of training to be a barrister, I think you still have the urge to go and do things.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have to accept it. The time has come. I can't.
Right. Okay. What stage would you say Sunny is at for?
Oh, I think he's gone past the acceptance stage. He's now moved on with life now. I think his eye condition is no longer the primary worry in his life. I think for a long time that was the number one worry consuming his life, the blindness and loss of vision and the need for surgery. But now he's gone through that. He's a good example of a patient that's gone through all the different stages of loss of vision. And I think it's now he's moved on. He's moving on with life, which
okay.
is fantastic.
Okay. In Malaysia, the average age at diagnosis is 45 years and decreasing. What have been your observations?
This is absolutely true. Our diabetics are getting younger and younger, and they're also increasing in number. And the patients that come to my clinic with severe loss of vision from diabetes are also very young.
Mm-hmm.
The youngest patient I recently operated on was age 21. A young lady who just gave birth, and she was blind in both eyes. So I had to operate on both eyes at the same time.
Is that because of childhood diabetes?
No, it's recently diagnosed diabetes, but it wasn't controlled.
Right.
I'm just concerned she may not be able to see her child grow up.
Right.
That's the saddest thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think awareness is important, and having the eyes checked regularly. So if we can detect the early signs of blindness, we can prevent blindness by laser treatment. That's very important.
To know that there is an option,
yes,
is such a consolation.
Yes.
What are the reasons for the undiagnosed and poorly controlled diabetes in Malaysia? Okay, ignorance is one, denial is the other,
mm-hmm,
but some people are just not controlling it well enough and, you know, are not getting it diagnosed.
Dr. Sunny?
The question of undiagnosed diabetes. I did not know I had diabetes. I was assaulted 26 years ago by some bad people, and I went to hospital. That was in Johor Bahru, and routinely they took my blood test, and my blood sugar was 30 over.
Ooh,
that's very high.
And they have no choice. They just give me an insulin injection that particular day, and I have to use it. So the word of checking and find out whether you have diabetes, I don't know. Professor maybe can explain that.
Usually,
symptoms,
did you have any symptoms like going to the toilet a lot, feeling very thirsty?
None whatsoever. Yeah.
So that's interesting. I mean, usually the common signs would be patients are very thirsty, drinking lots and passing lots of water.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I mean, to be fair, because it's so hard to diagnose unless you have the blood test. So it's worth getting a check every couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah.
You are saying that there are sufficient support groups for people with diabetes or who suffer diabetic retinopathy?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the Malaysian Diabetic Association is very active. There are many members there. And I think in Malaysia, we have access to the best healthcare in the world. And, you know, the government is spending a lot of money to tackle all these chronic diseases. But I think we still have to approach the attitude of our population and basically take charge of your life. And really, you know, as I spoke on this before, we are taking far too much sugar in our diets. Our eating habits are very poor, and we lack discipline. We really do. Because patients, for example, say, I eat very well, but when it comes to the festive season, it goes haywire.
Oh, yes. And we're coming to the end of the year, which will start all over again.
Exactly.
You know, Dr. Fong, is there research being done where there are possible hopes of maybe a synthetic retina or, you know, I've read of vascular endothelial growth factor, you know, that regulates the growth of blood vessels. Any headway being made in those areas?
Yes, there is actually.
Mm-hmm.
There are many new drugs available to treat diabetes in the eye, which is called the anti-VEGF antibodies to block these vascular endothelial growth factor molecules. VEGF makes the blood vessels grow.
Yes.
So we can inject special drugs in the eye to stop them from growing. In terms of a synthetic retina, we're not quite there yet, but in America and UK, they've come up with a microchip where you can implant underneath your macula, the center of your eye, and this microchip can sense light and send special electrical impulses to your brain. And these are designed for patients with congenital or inherited retinal problems.
Okay. Talking about VEGF, do we know if it's glucose level or lack of oxygen or some other factor that sort of upsets this imbalance of blood cell growth?
Yeah, it is. The glucose levels, high glucose actually damages your blood vessels. And the lining of your blood vessels is by a cell called the pericyte. This pericyte disappears from your blood vessel lining. And as a result, the blood vessels leak.
Mm-hmm.
New blood vessels grow because there's lack of oxygen. So it's two things, the high sugar and lack of oxygen that causes the problem.
Okay. A 25-year study confirms that keeping good control of glucose and cholesterol levels and treating high blood pressure helps to prevent the progression of diabetic retinopathy. Now, we all know this, but nobody really pays enough attention to it.
But in those studies, the patients were under intensive follow-up. They came every couple of months to clinic. There are lots of nurses and doctors looking after them. It's impossible to replicate it in real life and very expensive.
Okay. Would you say among the diabetics, there are the high-risk group who could possibly almost 99-100% develop retinopathy?
Yeah, the high-risk groups are the younger patients.
The younger?
The younger ones are high-risk. The adult-onset diabetes or type 2, patients that get it maybe in age 40 or 50, they are less at risk. But after 10 years, the adult onset problems become the same as the younger ones in terms of the risk of retinopathy.
Okay. Your final advice, Sunny, on retinopathy, diabetic retinopathy. What would you like us to remember and to keep at the back of our heads, you know, regarding blindness as a result of diabetes?
The answer is go and see a competent ophthalmologist. I cannot say who because it's advertisement. If you suffer that what I did, which I nearly turned blind, then it's about time you go and see a good ophthalmologist. There are many around, but just look for the good one.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Fong, your final advice?
My advice is that it is treatable, it's common, and that anybody who's diabetic out there should have an eye test at least
every year.
That's
my
very
take
important.
Home, yes.
Yeah.
Once a year.
Yeah.
Thank you both for joining us today. Dr. Ken Fong, a consultant ophthalmologist, and Ui San Ni talking to us about dealing with blindness due to diabetic retinopathy on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.